So in today's episode, I'll be talking with Jeff Carlucci. Jeff was the teacher across the hall who, one, taught me the most important lesson I learned about leadership, and two, he is reading and thinking about books, and we're going to just have a discussion about what you should be reading. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, you are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdes.
Welcome to the Leadersmith podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what you should be reading now during the, as the quarantine is wrapping up, as you're in the summertime, as you're thinking about what would be useful to read moving forward. With me is my great friend, Jeff Carlucci. Jeff and I worked together at Stonebridge School in Chesapeake, Virginia. He was an English teacher across the hall while I was teaching history and government. And I learned probably the most important thing that I've learned about leadership from this man right here. And that was this. It was, I was teaching a subject, and Jeff taught me, you're not teaching your subject, you're teaching people. And it was the first time I really got that. And when I got that, it transformed everything about how I led and how I taught and what the relationship was like with my students. So publicly, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So yes. Jeff just reached out to me. He was asking me, well, you tell me.
Oh, so I contacted Darren when we started the coronavirus quarantine from school. And I was preaching to my students to get something out of this, to make sure you have something to show for the effort of being at home for so long at the end. Don't just waste it. So I decided I was going to read, and I wanted to be able to say, I've read these books. So I contacted Darren and said, what should I read?
Yeah, and you have been. And how many did you say you read?
I'm about 18 or 19 books in now.
That's pretty good. That's 18 or 19 more than most people are, I mean, yeah, during a given year. So you're doing great. So tell me what you've been reading.
Well, I've tried to balance fiction and nonfiction. As an English lit teacher, I love fiction. And I love what you can find from there. I read a lot of Christian fiction, because there's something at the end that I can get about Christ and apply to my life. But what, at least that was the plan, to do a balance. I realize I'm not. I'm 14 books into nonfiction, which I know you love, Darren. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of John Maxwell, saw a lot in there about leadership that I thought was excellent and encouraging. I've read a lot of C.S. Lewis, and both challenging and inspiring. I read a Tozer and Andrew Murray on humility.
What was the book by Tozer?
In Pursuit of God.
Yeah, great book.
Yeah, it is. And those kind of books have been pushing me towards finding Christ. So one of the things that I find, I was sharing with Darren, I'm of a certain age. I'm 60. Mm-hmm. But I've never really wanted to stop. So I think as long as I continue to learn and to prepare, I'm giving God something to do with my life. We joked at school that I'll be able to teach when I'm 70, as long as I don't teach like I'm 70. So I'm trying to learn some things that are new and to keep, you know, moving forward. So that's why I want to read more.
Now, let me ask you this. All other things being equal, how much better are you as a teacher now than you were just 3 months ago, before you started reading all this? I mean, you've built all these dendrites in your head. You're seeing things that you hadn't seen before. You're going to be able to pluck these concepts and put them right into your class lessons as you go. And you're writing it into the class lesson either. I mean, you're just going to say that as you go through things. You're just going to start talking, and there it is.
Yeah, I think so. As I've been thinking about the Maxwell books, there's so many things that he says that when I listen to it, I think, well, of course, I know that. But then occasionally he'll come up with something and it's like, oh, that's important. Like I read Today Matters. Mm-hmm. You and I know today matters, but his emphasis on, no, today matters. If I'm going to start my diet, I don't start it 2 weeks from now. I start it today. And that if it's a bad day, if it's a difficult day, today matters is something that I'm going to use when I'm with my students. And there's so many different things. Some of the depth of C.S. Lewis and his reasoning about mere Christianity. I think that's important to be able to pull that out, to set the standard. You know, at Stonebridge, we try to teach to where they have to aspire to where we are. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of things that I want them both in their character and in their academic ability to aspire to.
Yeah. And so when you're reading, so one, you have to select good books. And it sounds like you have when you're talking about Tozer and Lewis. And didn't you say Tim Keller was in there?
Tim Keller. Yeah. The Reason for God.
I mean, what great books, right? And
yes.
So when you're reading these things, you're just, and so you try to select as well as you can. And, you know, something that's going to be promising. I now grade my books that I read. Right. And, you know, I read rapidly, but I now grade them. I keep track of what they are and I give them A-, B plus, all the way down to Fs. And even bad books, if you get one really good idea out of it, it could have been worth it. Even if everything else was terrible and you say, and you're able to say to somebody who's about to read it, no, don't waste your time on that one. Yeah. But even then, here's the one nugget that you'll get out of it. It's still worth it, but I'm just trying to find good reading. So what do you want to read now?
When I went from Maxwell into Lewis, I was thinking, I want deeper Christian apologetics, but I don't want to, and I hope this comes across right, I don't want to go so deep Christian apologetics that I'm not thinking application to today, to the world. I want to be challenged in my thinking to think deeply, in ways perhaps that I haven't always, but I don't want to waste it on socialistic garbage, if that makes any sense. When I did my master's in English Lit, there was so much that I had to read that was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
So I want to read something that isn't a waste of time that really motivates me.
Yeah. And so, that's really the trick, is finding a good list. Like if you ask me about leadership books, I can rattle off a bunch. If you ask me about some other, like some political things, I can rattle off a bunch. It just depends on where you're going. And so when you're saying, I sometimes group it by author, and I would say anything by Lewis is good. Anything by Francis Schaeffer is well worth reading. It'll do that every time. Tim Keller, as you said, anything. William Lane Craig is another one in that kind of category. And so I would just start thinking, like, if you found an author like Tim Keller, my wife and I joke about Tim Keller that, like, where's the USB port where they put in the extra memory or extra brilliance into, I mean, the guy's just, he's amazing. Everything I've ever seen, or I'll watch YouTube videos, you know, by these particular authors, just to get more of this. But I would just find a short list of whatever it is, wherever you're going, and just start pounding down that. Because I'm sure you haven't read. I read the C.S. Lewis collection. It was like 3 inches, 4 inches thick. I mean, it was great. Now, some of it was like, why did you put that in there? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was just like a little mundane. But Lewis is just powerful, and you're finding stuff everywhere with Lewis. And if you haven't read a book by C.S. Lewis, read whatever book. Even his fiction works are interesting.
Paralandra.
I mean, I don't just mean Lion, Witch in a Wardrobe. The other series, Paralandra, The Fallen Planet, Escape from the Fallen Planet, or
yeah,
something like, and
of course, Screwtape Letters.
Oh, I use Screwtape Letters in
class.
You know, my students next week, they'll be doing an assignment where I ask them to read Screwtape and then write a letter from Screwtape to Wormwood about how to trip you up.
Oh, that's
great.
It is one
of the most powerful assignments that my students take, because they're really like looking for what it is. You know yourself, right? You know what will tempt you and what will trip you up. And so, and they really dig into that. I stole that, borrowed it, was given, you know, the idea by a Dallas Baptist professor who said, wow, this is really powerful. You got to try it. And I use it in my power and influence class. It's really remarkable.
So if I'm going to take us down the road with Screwtape just a little bit, it's a little bit off topic, but Screwtape, I love in there that in dealing with Christian students, and actually we did a life group with it also, that it's not, none of us are really tempted to knock off the 7-Eleven for $50 with a handgun. It's the little things. It's the looking at the person in front of you in church and thinking, oh, they're here? That starts to take you off that road. And of course, with the students in the classroom, you're showing them that it's the little things you have to be on guard against that the where the temptations come from. So I love that about Lewis and his brilliance to identify the nuances that when I think of little things, I think of little things. He comes with the nuance of a little thing. Yeah. And it's like, I step back thinking, oh my, that's something. That's right. I read The Problem of Pain that he wrote recently. And I was just impressed with him and how that we can learn in every circumstance. And pain is used by God in circumstances. And I think that applies to today, unfortunately, for a lot of us.
Yeah, I mean, look around, the world's in pain. But let me go back to what you were just saying before. You know, are you more likely to murder or rape, or are you more likely to tell a little white lie or steal that little insignificant thing or what? I mean, that's really where the action is for most people. And many people just slough that off as if it's not relative or irrelevant, but it is relevant. I mean, it's that's really where the action is and whether you believe this or not and where your theology lies. So, so anything by Lewis, anything by Tim Scott. Tim Scott was my episode on Friday. Anything by Tim
Keller.
Keller, sorry, I blanked there for a second. Anything by Tim Keller, Schaefer, all these guys. I mean, it's just they've written exhaustively. I'm sure you haven't finished it. That's great, but it depends on again what field you want to read in. But read because I mean. So you're going to be so much better off on the other side if you just do that, as opposed to if you spend all your time in front of Netflix.
Absolutely. And the thing that I found interesting is, and Darren, you and I were talking offline about the fact that as teachers, our life actually got busier, not less busy when we stayed home and started teaching. I found that I was able to redirect the time I had anyhow, because I had a goal. I was trying to show my students, I'm going to produce something and show them at the end of this time period that I've produced it. I was able to do that with actually less free time than I had been having. And it's just a prioritizing. This is important. I'm going to read. I'm going to read instead of fill in the blanks. Now, it didn't hurt that there were no sports on. And admittedly, I didn't miss it nearly as much as I thought I would. So I think it's important to get the reading done.
Yeah, you're hitting on a couple of interesting things. Like I found that this has been a very interesting dynamic. I save an hour a day by not commuting to work, probably longer than that because I don't have to fix myself up to look appropriate. I mean, I wear a t-shirt and shorts and I'm good to go. And I mean, I don't have all that extra time to get ready for work. Now that's absorbed in other ways, but because you had a goal, you start focusing on that goal and you're working toward that. That's the beauty of like when you have a goal and you write things down. I write, massive to-do list. I mean, you've known me for years. I've always worked on that. But if I write something down, even if I don't refer back to it, it just gets done magically because it's now in my focus. I'm aware of it. I'm thinking through it. I'm working toward it. And the other thing is that you publicly told your students, do this. Now you feel like a hypocrite if you don't do it.
Right.
So if you want to read more, do those kinds of things where, you make it public, you write it down, you think through what it is that you want to read, start thinking in terms of those shot groups of the types of authors that you want to read, and just start pursuing it. And there's really no excuse now, like, oh, I can't get to the library. Yet, even if you can't get to the library, Kindle, you can get it. You can get the book. So,
I agree, and it's been great. I've loved it. And like you said, the using Kindle or I've even just going to YouTube and finding books, audiobooks on YouTube, and just listening to them, it makes a difference. It's been awesome.
And even if you can't, since you brought up YouTube, even if you can't get the books, there are lectures by, incredibly prominent people. I mean, YouTube is such a rich source. If I had to trade YouTube or Netflix in a heartbeat, I'd take YouTube. It's such a rich source of all kinds of robust debates, teachings, even summaries of books or whatever. I mean, it's there. So anyway, I'm glad that you're beating down that path because you won't. I don't know when you've read 18 books before, other than in grad school.
Right.
Now, and you read. I mean, I know that you read, and yeah. I know you prepare, but in that condensed time, reading that much is a very unusual thing. And you will see it in the fall when you're back in class and you're just pulling stuff out and just, oh, and this, and it just flows. It leaks out because it's what you've been pouring in.
Yeah, that's great. And I hope to keep it up. I hope next time I talk to you, I'll be at 30 and then we'll move to 50. And someday I aspire to the hundreds like you.
Yeah, you know how I got started on that, right? Uh-uh. So I got started on this. I set out my first year teaching full time as well. So I've done this for years. Reading prolifically. But then my first year at Liberty teaching full time, I decided I'm going to read 200 books this year, and it didn't work. I fell flat. I only read 152. And so I reset the bar and just kept it at least a minimum of 100 over each year. And when I did that, easy to track everything, stay on top of it. I knew what I was shooting for. I knew I could do it with plenty of margin. And so, yeah, do that, but expand your mind and become more. What you're trying to do is build your human capital. And yeah. You are far more valuable. Look, just 18 books later, you're far more valuable than you were. It's like you added an extra year of knowledge to yourself.
That's right. I'll have to tell my boss.
Yeah, maybe you'll get a raise out of that. I don't think that's going to work that way. But you'll be more valuable, and you'll know that you've made your students' lives better, and that's what's important there.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
Well, hey, man, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. And
it's my pleasure. It's an honor.
I love talking about reading and books and building dendrites and new ideas, yeah. And how to be a better teacher and that kind of thing. So, thanks again. I really do appreciate the lessons that you taught me about early on in my teaching career, the lesson that you taught me about relationships, and that was just so profound, and it changed everything for me. And I can't thank you enough.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a blessing. You're awesome. And you ended up teaching one of my children, and it was a blessing for me to have that. So thank you, Darren. It's been awesome.
Yeah, man. So, hey, I always end with a quotation for contemplation. The quotation for contemplation was from Thomas Jefferson. He said, "I cannot live without books."
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Gotta like that. I'm right there with him. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, man, thank you so much. And I hope that this will be helpful to some of our audience as far as like how they should be proceeding as they want to read more but haven't necessarily gotten to do it, and thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Darren.
All right.